And good morning and welcome to A Certain Degree. Welcome to a show called To A Certain Degree. My name is Nick. We're here every Monday from 7 to 9 on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. Thanks for tuning in. That was a song by the name of The Ballad of Sonny Liston from the album Three-Way Tie for Fifth. The artist is This Bike is a Pipe Bomb. So a lot of really long explanations in terms of the album name and everything else that goes along with it. So my special guest today, I'm so smiley about this because, you know, we've been trying to do this for a while and I've tried to convince you to do this. I think you were a little nervous about coming on the air.
I think I'm more nervous about these headphones that don't fit.
Yeah, those are humongous on your head. So Brandy Franzen is here, who is a part of the admissions team here at Rollins College, but also, you know, has a lot of personality as well. And I think that's why I have you on today. That's one of the
main... Nobody else would get up.
Nobody else wants to get up this early. Thanks for that.
Just
appreciate it so much. So we've got a lot to talk about. This hour of music is going to be sort of inspired by some of your favorite music. So you had an interesting... answer. I usually ask every guest what their favorite band is, and we play a song or two, and then we talk about it. So we've had Van Halen, and we've had The Killers, and a couple of others, and some Coldplay in there as well. And you said, no, you know what? I think I asked the question in terms of, like, okay, what's your go-to music? And you said, well, I don't really, well, I'll let you tell the story.
Well, yeah, I don't have go-to music because it depends on the mood I'm in, but I definitely have default movies. And on any given day, randomly, if I need to do like a reset, I think I would call it, I go to my John Cusack obsession and I watch High Fidelity and Gross Point Blank back to back.
Wow. So you dedicate some time to that. So what I tried to do is pick some music for this hour that was inspired by those two movies. Great, fantastic movies. Big John Cusack fan. Basically through, what is it, about 95. And then I think he just started doing every movie they asked him to do.
So, yeah, some of them I have willingly not watched.
Yeah, he was an action movie hero for a while and then all sorts of other things. But I remember him from his first movies from, oh gosh, I can't remember any of the names of them. But,
Say Anything, Better Off Dead.
Better Off Dead. What's the summer one? One Crazy Summer?
One Crazy Summer.
Yeah, which is just a ridiculously awful, great movie with Bobcat Goldthwait in it. It's fantastic. So to get to know you a little bit better, not only for me, but for all the tens of listeners out there, we play a game at the beginning of the show called, well, it changes from week to week, but this week it's called Peanut Butter or Jelly. And the reason for that is peanut butter is amazing. It'll keep you alive. It's delicious. It's the perfect food, right?
Yes.
And jelly is gross sugar guts of fruit. And I don't care for it at all. So basically, I'm going to read you some stuff. And as we're going through it, if you like it, if you're for it, if you're pro, say peanut butter. And if you don't care for what I say, you hate it, then you're con, you say jelly.
So that's how we're gonna determine. Can I say like PB&J instead?
No. Well, that's if you both love it and hate it.
No, PB for good.
Oh, yeah. Okay, PB&J. Okay, yes. PB or J.
Yes.
That's it. Okay. All right, so ready?
Ready.
Got it. Got to get to know Brandy a little bit better. Pool baths.
Jelly, J. Okay.
You don't care for that?
A pool bath.
Yeah, so you're maybe you're working in the yard and you're like, I gotta go to this thing. I gotta go run to the store. Just gonna jump in the pool.
So when you first said it, I imagined a bunch of people in the pool having a bath.
Oh yeah, that's weird.
Which went to the no side.
That was a J for sure. I think it's a J for a lot of people.
But when you describe it that way, if it's just you, then that's fine.
Okay, just quick rinse off, basically. Yep. Okay, millennials. PB or J?
J.
Don't care for them, huh?
No, it's not them I don't care for.
Oh, okay.
It's, I think it's some of the, and also to just put myself out there, some of the things are probably not true, but some of the things that, I have a hard time relating with, perhaps it's my what do you call it? My insecurity with dealing with how they think sometimes.
Oh, okay. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Maybe we'll talk, maybe that relates to the Pokemon Go.
Yes.
Stuff. Okay. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. All right. Let's keep going. PB or J, LASIK eye surgery.
PB.
You would do that or you have done that?
I have friends who have. Yeah. I have not.
I can't. Would you do it?
Sure.
Okay. I can't do lasers at my eyes. MTV when it played music videos.
PB.
Okay. MTV now.
I don't even know what. I've not watched MTV.
I'm going to say J for that. Yeah. Comic book movies.
PB.
Oh, nice. Any favorites? Favorite characters or favorite movies?
I watch them all. No, I don't have a favorite.
Wow. All right. If John Cusack was a superhero, that would be your favorite.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Reviewing resumes.
Ugh.
Right?
J.
Yep. Yep. I'm with you. Taking a cruise?
I've never done that.
What's your opinion of it?
I'm going to say PB for now.
Okay.
Until proven otherwise.
Until you actually take one. Jerky. How do you feel about jerky?
Homemade or store-bought?
Let's go with homemade.
Then PB.
Okay. You put a little bit of peanut butter on that jerky. It's good.
No.
Reading books on a tablet. Like Kindle or your iPad.
I tried that and I just, no.
It's not the same.
I'm going to say J.
You need an artifact. All right. Well, thank you. So we're going to do that again at the top of the next hour. And the questions will be significantly harder and worth more points.
Great. I'm excited.
I don't know if you knew that those were worth points. I've been keeping score. You're doing okay so far.
What do I get to do with the points?
At the end of it, I'll tell you if you won or lost.
Okay.
At the end of the show, whether you won or lost. So one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today is you have a much more diverse background than I do in terms of living in different places, traveling a lot. But thinking about growing up in the 70s and 80s, so this is perfect with the John Cusack kind of tie-in in the U.S., it was a little bit weird for me. So, but you grew up in Honduras and then moved over. When did you move over?
When I was 19.
Okay.
To the States.
You grew up, but you visited the States while you were in Honduras.
In the summers, we would go to New Orleans, which is where the rest of my family is, which is also the largest concentration of Hondurans outside of the United States.
Is it really?
Actually, yes.
And
my city, San Pedro Sula, is a sister city with New Orleans as well.
That's amazing.
But I thought that the entire United States was like New Orleans.
That is not an accurate representation.
No, it is not.
At all.
But that's all I knew.
At all.
So.
I can't remember what magazine just came out with like the best cities in the world to visit. And New Orleans is on there.
Of course.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. It absolutely has to be. But it is so different than anything else. That's amazing that that was your experience. And then what was the next place you went to?
D.C.
Oh,
we went. We went as a family so my parents could show me the museums and the monuments.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Yes, we were young. I don't even remember.
And you're like, why isn't anybody drinking on the streets and vomiting?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
And well, mostly, and the food. I was
why
does everything taste
gross.
So bland?
Yeah, yeah, I could see that.
I have since lived in D.C. and it is not bland, but when I was little, I didn't know any differently.
Right. And growing up in Honduras, though, you didn't really fit in there either, did you?
No, I was, well, yes and no. I was born and raised there, so I had, obviously all my friends were like brothers and sisters, but my house was the speak English house. So people would send their kids over to our house to go practice their English because we were one of the few homes where English was the language.
Within the home.
Mm-hmm, within the home.
All right. And so what about at school? Did they treat you differently? Because you're half Honduran and half American, right?
Technically, yes. I mean, my father was born in Honduras. No, not really. He was born in New Orleans and he grew up in Honduras.
Okay.
Let me correct myself. My mom, born in Dallas, Texas. So all American blood or German
blood.
European blood, actually, but born in Honduras. I was called La Gringa because I didn't fit the mold of everybody else.
Right.
But then when I came to the U.S. and I was in college, I was the Latin girl because I could dance and because I spoke Spanish. So, yeah.
Which you don't look all that Latin. I mean.
No, I look European.
Yeah. 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 So I guess from my perspective, it was, you know, growing up in Daytona Beach, being born in Canada and being Greek. And I talk about this all the time. I know I get it. I'm Greek. I have that olive skin. I got a lot of hair. And growing up in Daytona, it was, I was going to a private school at first. And it was me and my friend, Mike Papadakis. We were the only two Greek kids in there. And everyone else was super white.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a little bit different growing up there for me in terms of, like, I didn't have anybody I kind of, other than Mike,
yeah,
that I really related to in school. And so, and we had a small class and we went through all the grades together until I got to middle school. I was like, oh my gosh, wow, look at all these other people and cultures and stuff that is of interest. And now I don't feel like such a outcast.
Well, and I think when I went to art school, so when I got there, I didn't expect to be the outsider because I felt like I had finally found my people.
Right.
And, but it was the first time I had ever heard the term third culture kid. And when I first learned that phrase, I couldn't stop reading about it. I just picked up every book, every article, everything to try and sort of quote unquote head shrink myself into figuring out why I was the way that I was.
Right. And what did you determine from all that?
It came in stages. The first thing was that at least I wasn't alone.
Yep.
And the second stage was accepting that it was okay to be both. But that happened even later on. And I'm not even sure it happened when I was in college. I think it happened even later.
When I think that when I got to college, it was kind of a similar experience is that, you know, I spent my whole life kind of rejecting my culture so that I could try to fit in with everybody else. And then you get to college and beyond and people are jealous of the fact that you have a culture, you know, some sort of background with a history behind it. And I think that's why I talk about it all the time, because I feel like, oh, people are just going to be impressed by this because that's what everybody wants is to, you know, be this and grow up in this weird fashion with incense in a Greek Orthodox church and, you know, that sort of thing.
Right. And I still don't. I've lived in the United States for 22 years, and I still don't call it home. When I say home, I always am talking about Honduras home. Right. So I don't think it ever goes away.
No. I mean, Daytona is still home to me. I don't necessarily like to go and spend a lot of time there. But especially the church part, because that was a big part of the culture too, was the Greek Orthodox church over there. And there's a big Greek community there. So it's funny because
I didn't know that.
Big Greek community in Daytona, big Greek community in Tarpon Springs over by Tampa, but not a ton of people in Orlando, not a ton of Greeks in Orlando. So they like the beach, basically.
Yes.
And that's why I chose Orlando. Let's get away from the Greeks, because there can only be so many that are going around going, I'm Greek and great.
Is there like a quota?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Well, I also don't want them saying like, you're not really Greek.
See, there's
all
your,
you know.
And there's we'll talk, your third culture kid
right?
problem.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because all you know is the swear words. And we're going to talk about some good Greek swear words a little bit later. So thanks again for coming on. Let's play another song. And this one will be from... Gross Point Blank. We'll play some Violent Femmes.
Nice.
And this is on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida.
I got invited to my 10-year high school reunion. I'm conflicted. I mean, I don't know if I really want to go. It's in Detroit, you know, and I grew up there, but I just honestly don't know what I have in common with those people anymore. I mean, or with anyone, really. I mean, they'll all have husbands and wives and children and houses and dogs, and, you know, they'll have made themselves a part of something, and they can talk about what they do, and what am I going to say? I killed the president of Paraguay with a fork. How have you been? I'm just thinking it'll be depressing. It'll be depressing. Shouldn't you be taking notes or something?
I'm not taking notes, Martin, because I'm not your doctor.
Please don't start with that stuff again.
Everybody snap it. Good times. Queen with the late, great David Bowie. And actually Queen with the late, great Freddie Mercury. Under Pressure from a number of different albums, but with the Gross Point Blank. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was, the Gross Point Blank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
when he's staring into the baby's eyes, questioning life.
Yeah, and then it switches over to "Let My Love Open the Door." Mm-hmm. Is that what it goes to?
And they're dancing right after
You're
that.
You're the subject matter expert on that movie for me. So, good morning. My name is Nick. This is a show called To a Certain Degree. Before that, we heard from The Violent Femmes, Blister in the Sun, from their self-titled album back from 1983.
Oh, God.
A long time ago. And talking a little bit about Gross Point Blank and some John Cusack movies with Brandi Franzen. Thank you again, Brandi, for being here this morning.
No problem.
We do this every week, except with different guests. I do this every week. Brandi actually does professional things that are of importance. And yeah.
That's questionable.
No, it's not. Please. So we were talking about Gross Point Blank and what was the other movie?
High Fidelity,
because those are your two go-to movies.
They are.
Having a bad day, you watch those movies.
I do.
Having a good day, sometimes watch those movies.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. So I wanted to talk specifically about Gross Point Blank, and then we might play some Kinks, a song that wasn't in High Fidelity, but the Kinks were. So we're going to do that, because they're both fantastic soundtracks.
They are.
They're both amazing soundtracks. Really well done, really helped push the story along in both of the movies. And so one of the key things about Gross Point Blank was it was about his 10-year high school anniversary or reunion.
Reunion, yeah.
So I guess he went to high school in 1983 and this was 1993 that the movie came out. So about the time when John Cusack jumped the shark a little bit and started doing some, just saying yes to every movie. He's the Samuel L. Jackson of hipsters, basically. So he was the original hipster. We determined that earlier today.
It blew my mind, that idea.
Yeah, everyone wanted to be that guy. He was like the trendsetter, say anything. If you were kind of nerdy and, you know, a little bit of a romantic, you wanted to be John Cusack in the 80s and early 90s.
Absolutely.
And so now I'm trying to...
The car and everything.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to just come up with my inner John Cusack. I'm trying to figure out what I should do because it's my 25th high school reunion is this summer. It's probably this month. It might be this weekend.
Don't assassinate the president of Paraguay with a fork.
I might still do that. I'm not a big fan of Paraguay. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, why? You've never been there.
All about Uruguay.
It's great.
All about Uruguay.
Now, why would you love Down one and not Paraguay. The other way?
I assume you have to choose one or the
no.
other.
No.
Are you sure?
Positive.
I've always thought that you're either a fan of one or the other.
I have been to both. They're different. It's you do not have to choose.
Barcelona, Madrid, soccer team.
Just
like
you
rivalry.
Don't have to choose Greek or Canadian. You can be
I don't.
Both.
I am both.
There you go. So
yeah.
you can like
they, But
both.
They don't compete and they don't even sound the same. Uruguay and Paraguay sound the
All
same.
All Latin American countries compete against each other at one point or another.
No.
You just got to let it go.
No. There we go. I knew it. But, okay, so I guess as the resident John Cusack expert, should I go to, you can act as the therapist from Gross Point.
Should
Blank
you
here.
Go?
Should I go?
I'm going to be your Joan Cusack and say, absolutely.
Okay.
If you remember.
Why? Yeah, no. Is the person who bought all of his ammunition.
Yes.
In the movie.
She's almost in all of his films.
She was in High Fidelity too. Yes. So is that a thing you have to have a John
thing.
Cusack movie with Joan Cusack
no,
in it as well?
No, but she's in a lot of them.
Yeah. That's good. I need Should a sibling you? Who's in movies that'll get me into movies. Like you can be the talented one. I just want to work.
One of my other favorites that nobody really knows about is Martian Child, which is also John Cusack.
Yeah.
And she's in it as well.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Very good.
Should you go? Yes. You should go.
And why? I haven't really spoken to any of these people in probably that 25 years. I'm not connected to them on Facebook. I don't really hang out with any of them or know where any of them are. I wouldn't recognize most of them.
I think it's a good checkpoint in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to like check in and
show them how much better I am than them.
See how far you've come.
I see how many of them are bald.
You will be better off than some and less better off than some.
Wait, no, then I'm not going.
You have to accept that.
Unless I'm better off than all of them, there's no chance I'm going.
I used to talk about this when I would do portfolio counseling for students. I would be like, there's always going to be somebody who's better than you as an artist, and there's always going to be somebody who's not as good as you.
So just accept. Portfolio review for when you worked for Savannah.
Yes.
College of Art and
Design.
Design.
Yes. SCAD. Very good. You remembered.
Yeah. I just like the acronym.
It's awful.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. Yeah.
Yes. SCAD. It sounds
like
SCAB.
Where do you go to school? SCAD.
And all then right, they look great. At you and go, SCAB?
Yeah.
No, SCAD.
All right. So so you're making an analogy of artists, which is nice. I appreciate that. Because obviously I'm not the greatest artist in the world.
You just have to accept that you're always going to be better than some and not as good as others. And then the pressure's off.
I feel like that puts more pressure on me.
How?
I have to compete with the ones that are better
than
me.
You're only competing with yourself at that point.
Okay. You really are my therapist, by the way. So I'm going to have to start paying you. Joyce, if you're listening, I'm not coming in anymore. She's way better. Brandy's really good at this. Okay. So that's fine. So did you go to any of your high school reunions?
My 20-year high school reunion, I wasn't able to go. It was in Honduras, and I actually looked at flights that morning, and they were like $700. But I didn't have the time off. I was working in D.C., and so I was very sad that I wasn't able to go, and they called me on FaceTime at like 2 in the morning and literally passed the phone around the dance floor and sang and we laughed and I cried. And though I wasn't there, it was like being there.
That's fantastic.
So, it was awesome.
I'm pretty sure they wouldn't do that for me. So I should probably go. Because I don't think anybody there has my number. So I'm going to go. So that's what John Cusack would do. So that's what I'm going to do.
You should.
So I feel like there's a lot of John Cusack stuff that because if you think about it, going back to the hipster conversation and why people relate to him, you see Say Anything. Mm-hmm. And he's like the outcast in school, but he's the artistic outcast.
Right.
Which you want
to be. With the trench coat.
Yeah. And he was in love with she was a popular girl, right?
She was the valedictorian.
Yeah. And so totally in love with her. And he ended up getting her in the end. He is the sociopath in Gross Point Blank. Like, he has no morals, no conscience.
Is he really a sociopath? Well, okay, fine.
Fully, yeah. He was afraid. The reason he didn't go to his dance, his prom, was because he was afraid that he would kill somebody and not really care that much about it. So he went to the army and became an assassin. Now, it begs the question.
Like, he just really loves his job.
It begs the question, did he, at the end, suddenly grow a conscience by looking in that baby's eyes?
Perhaps. Well, he was always in love.
Right.
With Minnie Driver.
With Minnie, who wouldn't be? Because she's amazing.
Well, yeah.
And just she's got that accent.
Talk show.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Yeah.
Because of her British accent.
Yeah. It's fantastic. That's a good theory as well, is if you look in a baby's eyes and you're evil, you'll turn good. But if you're good and you look into a baby's eyes, do you turn evil? So.
Depends on what the baby's doing, I'm sure.
I like how you blame the baby in all this. So it's not something in me. It's the baby. No. That's nice. And then in High Fidelity, I relate to him because he was always angry, I think. And he had a music fetish.
Was he always angry?
It feels like he was pretty much always angry in that movie, with the exception of the end. Top five lists of breakups and all of that stuff.
I think he was just introspective.
That's the same thing to me. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. When I get super introspective, man, there's a lot of yelling. Internal yelling, yes, but yelling nonetheless.
Yeah, that's the thing I love about him is there's no filter.
Right. And there was some controversy around that movie, High Fidelity, because it was actually Nick Hornsby, I think, wrote the book. Mm. And it was all based in England.
Right.
And so when they brought it over, they wanted somebody who could carry the movie, which was, of course, John Cusack. And it was a little bit of controversy around that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So facts all the time here on To a Certain Degree on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. I could have made it up as
well.
You
could have, and I would have agreed with you.
Yep. So let's listen to The Kinks. This is You Really Got Me. Technically, this is not from either album or soundtrack of those two movies, but we're going to play it anyway here on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. And good morning and welcome back. This is To a Certain Degree on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. And that was Tilly and the Wall with Pot Kettle Black from their album O. And starting us off was The Kinks with You Really Got Me from a number of different albums, but including Sunny Afternoon, the very best of The Kinks. Good morning. My name is Nick. I'm here with Brandy Franz. And good morning, Brandy.
Good morning.
Thanks again for being here.
Thank you.
So as you can see, sometimes the theme goes off the rails and we don't really talk about what we were going to talk about.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I did want to talk. I did want to bring it back, though, to that topic of sort of cultural literacy.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked a little bit today about how, you know, some people admire you for having a culturally diverse background. Sometimes you feel like a little bit of an outsider because not everybody acts the same way as you. And what I wanted to talk about, one of the things I liked about knowing Greek, even though I don't speak it that well, because I get very self-conscious about speaking Greek. And so yeah. I don't do it that often.
My Spanish sometimes suffers when I don't speak it for a long time.
Yeah. But I know it. I can understand it if my grandmother or something speaking Greek. And actually, it was funny. I think I told you the story. We were at the hospital. My grandmother's fine. But they were so excited about this technology. She doesn't speak English very well. So I was acting as a translator. And they were very excited about the technology. They had this phone. And they bring it in. It's got two handsets on it. So you give one to the person and you take one. And it calls automatically a translation service. You say what language you need and you do that. And the guy on the phone, his accent was so heavy and he spoke Greek so quickly, neither one of us understood him. So it was pretty funny because she, you know, was from Greece. She was born in Greece, raised there, all that stuff. Didn't really speak English. So that was pretty cool. But what I did want to talk about were swear words. Because I think they're so, just in general, English is not a great swear word language. They're very straightforward.
I would agree.
And
what do you think is the best swear word language?
You know, I like, I do like German, but not so much for
German.
The swear words, but for those really like Schadenfreude and those types of words that have like these really convoluted, complicated meanings.
Yes.
Like the happiness you get when someone next to you is miserable.
Right.
Yeah. That is the type of word that I need to know. But there's a, growing up, and I wasn't allowed, my sister and I weren't allowed to swear at each other, but you know, we were 2 years apart and we were always at each other's throats.
Right.
So we would sometimes swear at each other in Greek, and there's the straightforward ones like poop face and things like that. But I remember one day we're sitting in the back of the car and I was about 13 years old and my sister was 11 and I called her a malaka, which I'm not sure if you're allowed to say on the air, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. And my mom gave me the three name treatment, Nicholas John Trocadillo. Could you say that? And I was like, well, she's making me mad. And B, it's bad, right? And my mom goes, yeah, it's bad. And I go, well, what does it mean? And my mom gets uncomfortable for a second. And she, I mean, that was not unusual in terms of talking about swear words and stuff like that. And she goes, well, you know how masturbation is natural. And I go, well, I didn't say this, but I'm thinking I'm 13 years old. So,
so of course, you know,
I really hope so. I really, really hope so. She goes, well, malaka is someone who masturbates so much that it's no longer natural. So it's literally a pervert, but in that vein, like not just not a peeping Tom, not any of those other things, just someone who does that.
Yes.
So that's a favorite of mine.
Along those same lines, we were talking about how there is a word for that in Spanish, and it's pajero, which is the same thing. It's a masturbator till the, you know, till it's no longer normal. And how growing up, there were, what did we say? Mitsubishi, was it? That came out with the pajero, which was actually the Montero Sport. But
they just called it the pajero.
Selling it in Latin America with the name pajero, and it was so funny.
That's awful.
Because people wouldn't buy them.
Or
it also means someone who is a BSer, so full of it. So it has a double meaning.
I wonder if you can still get those, because I feel like I should get one of those.
I bet you could in Asia somewhere.
for the BS reasons.
Oh, for the BS reasons? Sure. Why not?
Okay, fine. All right, fine. What were some of your other favorite words in Spanish?
I think one of my favorite words to say is when I don't like something, and it's instead of saying yuck, and I don't even know if this is a Latin word used everywhere or if we just use it in Honduras, it's guacatela. So
that's just yuck.
It's yuck, but nice. Guacatela. So if you don't like something, you'll go guaca, like, and you can spell it a number of different ways and you can pronounce it with a G or a W, but that's probably my favorite word.
Nice. I always liked when my grandmother would say, there's a version of oh my God in Greek. That's Panayamu.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ay, Dios mío.
Yeah. I really like that one. And then apparently there was just one where you would put your hand towards somebody, like talk to the hand, but you go, nah. And I was like, here. I'm not sure what you're giving them, but it's usually not good.
My Italian grandmother would have done the same thing, except it was with the hand gesture of, it's really bad in Italian when you do that under your chin. You're basically telling someone F you.
To not do well with their lives.
Yes. My grandmother used to do that.
And then, my sister told me recently. So my dad would call us vre. Vre was a male, like, hey, you little so-and-so.
Oh,
And then Mori is the girl version of that. So I was calling
that makes sense.
My daughter
it's from
that.
From the Latin root. Yep.
Yeah. And apparently it means the B word. So I stopped calling my daughter that.
Mori?
Yeah.
It doesn't just mean woman?
No.
Huh.
No.
Because in Spanish it would be mujer.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I'm surprised.
Yeah. Well, it's not from Latin. Greek is not. Greek
no,
was.
No, Greek and Latin.
Listen. Greek is, I'm sure, what Latin came from.
Sure.
Because Greeks did everything and started everything.
Yes, of course.
And I think I've said that on the show before. And that's how it is.
Okay.
All right. So let's play a song.
You have to let me out after this.
Let's play a song. This is My Morning Jacket with the Victory Dance here on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. Jamie McGriff on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida, the best in basement radio and the voice of Rollins College. Welcome back to a show called To a Certain Degree. My name is Nick. We just heard from Jamie McGriff. That was The Worm from a number of different albums, but you'll find it on some of his best of stuff. Dan Auerbach before the break with I Want Some More from Keep It Hid. And My Morning Jacket started off that set with Victory Dance from their album Circuital. Maybe. I'm not sure. As I mentioned, my name is Nick. I'm not good at reading words. Not good at words in general. My guest today on To a Certain Degree is Brandy Franzen. Good morning again, Brandy.
Good morning.
Hour two. It's almost over.
I know.
Oh my gosh. We're going to have to make the most of it. We're not going to play any more music this hour.
I just figured out the headphones. It's only taken me an hour.
We're going to just talk for this entire hour. So do you have enough water?
No.
Okay, great. We're going to go back and play peanut butter or jelly.
Okay.
Just to remind you, peanut butter, good. If you like something, say peanut butter or PB. And jelly, because it's gross, basically fruit blood.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned, mixed with sugar. And I don't care for that unless it's a smoothie or a juice or a
smooch. So it's more about the texture, really, for you.
I think, is a combination of smoothie and juice. And, so that's the only way I'll eat our brothers and sisters in arms, the fruits.
Fruit blood.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, because I feel like I'm more honoring the dead that way than jelly, which is gross. It's a long explanation.
I can get
I'm sorry.
Behind that. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So peanut butter or jelly, PB or J. 80s nostalgia.
PB.
Yeah, I thought so. All right. Theme parks.
PB.
All right. That was a reluctant PB, I felt like.
It depends on the time of year. Okay. Yes, PB.
Yeah. Professional wrestling.
J.
I wish I could have translated the sneer that you just had. Onto the radio.
My facial expressions are my best feature.
Right. DIY soda. So do it yourself, make it yourself soda.
PB.
Really?
Somebody else's job.
Oh, no. So that's a J.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Sorry, J.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't want to do that.
Sure. Yeah. No. Talking politics with family.
Jay.
Yep. Coffee.
PB.
Right? You like a little peanut butter in your coffee? That's
no.
Strange. Shampoo and conditioner that's
never.
Mixed in one.
Jay.
Wait, shampoo.
And conditioner in one.
Yeah.
No, Jay. They should not be together.
I thought you were Jaying shampoo. I thought you heard me say shampoo and you were like,
men, I know men do that a lot. Like they purchase because it's one bottle and it's easy and it's done.
Yeah.
Women can't do that.
I'm sure
unless they have really short hair.
You kind of have short hair.
No, like boy short
hair. Super short hair. Okay,
yes,
got it.
Which
okay.
I've had, but.
Right. Flip-flops.
PB.
Okay. Colonizing Mars.
Oh, Jay.
Why?
No.
Why? Too far?
We haven't learned our lesson yet, really? I don't know.
What's
colonizing.
What's our lesson?
Leave people alone. Like, why
Mars.
Do we have to own
Mars.
Everything?
There's nothing there.
Still.
You feel like the lessons we learned from Christopher Columbus.
What are we going to put there?
Are still too fresh in our minds
there?
To go
the
to
the stuff that doesn't
Mars.
Fit here? I don't understand.
Yeah, the stuff that doesn't fit here. I want to go. I don't fit. My personality is too big for this planet.
I'm not saying we can't visit. Just don't see why we need to colonize.
Okay, so you're in for going to Mars.
I'm in for visiting.
You just don't want to leave anybody there.
I don't want it to be the Mayans and the Spaniards again. Remember where I come from. No.
Okay, so we might find some Martians there. That's a good point. I didn't think of that. It's interesting. That's why I like talking to people about this, because you get some different perspectives.
If they burn the codices, I'm going to be really mad.
No, I get it. And we don't want to bring our diseases over there.
Exactly.
Tough times. Okay, so the last one, hopefully it won't be as controversial. Those little sandwich cookies, I don't know how to pronounce it, but macaroons or macarons. They're really big right now, usually colorful, come in a variety of flavors.
Oh, yes, PB.
PB, yeah, those are good. Okay, good. So one of the things we were talking about early.
But they have to be fresh. With like,
yeah, oh yeah.
In the, like, baked that day. Because I've had them not baked that day. They're
not
good.
They don't grow old well.
No.
No, they're just like people. They just don't grow old well. So one of the things we've been talking about today is sort of cultural literacy. We both have a little bit. I'm not going to say I have a hugely diverse background, but you do, especially compared to me. But I wanted to go back because I still focus on this John Cusack. Basically, this has become the John Cusack show. And so we're doing jazz this hour. So this hour will be all jazz music. If there's anything you'd like to hear, we're probably going to play it. So don't call. What was that?
No, I just remembered he does play jazz in High Fidelity. So
oh, he does play a little bit. Yeah.
What it was.
Yeah. So High Fidelity and Gross Point Blank, two favorite movies of yours. John Cusack, of course.
And Martian Child.
The original hipster is, I've now come to know him, the OG hipster.
You blew my mind with that this morning.
Yep. I do that pretty often. But we're talking about making mixtapes, which is a big part of High Fidelity.
Yes.
And you were talking about doing that when you were in high school with your boyfriend.
I had a boyfriend who we would plan our entire weekend around making a mixed or a group of mixtapes for parties and things like that.
Oh, so you guys were up and coming DJs.
He was an up and coming DJ. I was kind of his groupie and I would tag along and we would dance for hours.
So you lived High Fidelity, basically.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
But yeah, my dad had an incredible sound system at our house. And so we would just spend hours using CDs, actual albums, and other tapes to create these mixtapes.
So, and he goes over this in the movie in High Fidelity, but what would your couple, three, four recommendations be for making a good mixtape?
The stop pause. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you're recording and you hit the stop. And
oh, on one and you hit the pause
so
on the other.
It goes right next to this next song.
Yep. Okay. So
very little time
between
songs.
Got it.
The order is so important.
Well, you're telling a story, right?
Yes.
Like you can't just, if you have eight great songs, you can't just put them back to back.
Exactly. You can literally tell someone you love them, you hate them, you want to marry them, you never want to see them again, all in within a 5 minute period.
Mm-hmm.
Or 45 minute period.
Seems like you were sending some pretty mixed messages to each other. That's pretty interesting.
No, we weren't. We were very clear.
What about the tempo? Did you like to go up, down, up, or how would you do that? Or did it depend on the mood and the
Well,
and the
most mixtape? Of them were for parties.
If they were dance parties,
so
yeah.
So it would start really strong and then kind of teeter out towards the end.
Okay, so up and yes. Then the slow songs.
The slow songs.
This one's going out for the ladies.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, that's good. It's a little mixtape. So do you still do that? Do you still make an occasional rip and burn some CDs
no,
or anything like that?
I do not.
So it's just like riding a bike. You don't lose that skill. You can jump back on and get it right back. So it's something to think about, something to think about doing.
I also had a DJ roommate in college, come to think of it. So yeah, I've been surrounded.
Was she part of the Bella Bartons?
No, he was not.
Okay. I'm just wondering if maybe, because you seem to be really into these two movies, if all of your life is kind of centered around movies and they're all kind of fictionalized and you just imagine yourself.
Yes.
As what was her name? From Pitch Perfect.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So that didn't go anywhere.
I mean, I knew the Bella Bartons, but I don't know what her name is.
All right. Very good. So let's get back to the jazz music. Was your dad a big jazz fan?
Yes.
What were some of his favorite artists?
I would say, well, Preservation Hall Jazz, because he's from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Basically any New Orleans jazz artist. So we listened to, even though Harry Connick Jr. can't be considered a jazz artist, but singer. Coltrane, Duke Ellington, but that doesn't even count as jazz. That's more like big band.
Still in the jazz genre.
Yeah. So those are a few.
All right. Very good. Well, we're going to hear from Chico O'Farrell. This is a song called Hip Hugger on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. And that was Chico O'Farrell and his orchestra with Hip Hugger from Manteca, the roots of Afro-Cuban jazz on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. It's a good song.
It was.
A little big bandy, a little Latin.
Afro-Cuban,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, and we'll actually hear, I already had some queued up some music from New Orleans coming up. New Orleans. Yeah.
That's New Orleans. However you want to say it.
NOLA is how.
I usually say NOLA.
Yeah. Good morning. My name is Nick. This is a show called To a Certain Degree on WPRK 91.5. My special guest today, Brandy Franzen, New Orleans person, not like native exactly,
not native.
But you spent a lot of time there.
I have.
So, and your dad likes jazz. So, this is really interesting trying to play some jazz music that's going to, you know, impress you. and speaking of impressing you, we've got some bad business ideas that we're going to go over right now.
Okay.
I know you've been warned.
I have.
So we do this every week. I pitch two ideas. It's like Shark Tank in its own way. So I'm going to pitch two ideas. You help me out with both. And then we figure out which one we are going to run with. Because basically by being on the show today and by even talking about these ideas, I don't know if you realize this, you signed an NDA. That also says you're going to invest.
Is everyone listening also going to sign an
That's
NDA?
That's a great point. Everybody who's listening right now, if you could go to a website, toacertaindegree.com,
yes.
The NDA will be available there, as will all of the bad
do
business
it right
ideas.
Now.
Toacertaindegree.com, if you want. Now, Brandy. Can I call you Brandy?
Yes.
Great. How competitive are you?
Not
competitive at all.
Mm-hmm.
How about when it comes to your friends? Like, how do you rank against them? Like, knowing those sorts of things? Is that important to you
how
at all?
How do you rank against a friend?
Yeah. How do you rank against a friend?
I don't understand.
Who has the biggest house? Who has the best job?
Oh, I think that's always a me problem. That's not a them problem.
Right. Well, we're going to make it an us problem.
Oh, okay.
You know, and you can look at all that stuff, or you could play Trivial Pursuit, or maybe it's fantasy football, or you could run a race, right? Like, who's the fastest? So we're going to start a company, a third party, to sort of validate who the best friend is out of all your friends. Now, we're not going to do it in any, you know, kind of traditional way. What you're going to do is take like a modified SAT test. Everybody sits down. Does the same thing, run an obstacle course, maybe some other things like dancing. Who's the best dancer? Which is a little more subjective. So you got to have some judges and things like
right.
that.
How about who makes the best margarita?
that is a great one. Survive in the Woods for a Weekend. So it's like sort of a reality show slash you would almost compete in a decathlon.
So what do you win at the end?
You, whoever has the best ranking is the best friend. And that's the name of the company, The Best Friend.
Okay.
So you go through these and you choose, you know, you may not want to do this one. You may do some other category of competition. But it can't just be one thing. Like, you can't just be the best at this. You have to be the best overall.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah. So I think dudes would be really into this. Because I think dudes are often competing against each other. And someone's going to have the best house and somebody's going to make more money. And it does, that doesn't really matter. It's, you know, a combination of things. Who's the
so
best?
Those things don't fall into this category.
No,
this
we're
ranking.
Not going to judge that.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's really subjective.
Okay.
As opposed to dancing skills.
Got it.
Which is only partially subjective. Okay, so that's idea number one. Do you have any questions on that one? Seems pretty straightforward.
Yes, it's fine.
Okay. Therapy animals. This is idea number two. That compete for your love. No, I'm just kidding. There was a recent story in Florida. There's a group that does miniature horses as therapy animals. So super cute. They bring the horses in. You hug them. Everybody feels better. You know what else is cute? Drones.
How are drones cute?
Aren't they cute? They fly around and they can hover right there.
No, they're creepy.
They're super cute.
Creepy.
So therapy animals delivered by drone. I know Amazon was talking about drone delivery at one point, but... imagine a kitten. You're sad. You want a kitten for half a day.
There's so many things that could go wrong.
Boom, right there on your lap is a kitten in 10 minutes or less. Or a puppy. Cutest drone, cute puppy, cute drone delivered right to you.
No.
Maybe you want to hang out with the drone for a while. You can do that too. It'll just buzz around your head.
No.
And you can do that. Drone therapy.
That sounds like torture.
Okay. I think maybe that's what the company's all about. Maybe it's just torture.
Drone
maybe you can
therapy.
See, maybe you want the puppy and you can't have it. It's like always out of reach.
Sounds
and we
like
torture
my
people.
Life. I think.
Drone therapy is down the road.
Okay.
That's the future of this company. Right now, we're just talking about the pets.
Okay.
The therapy pets or the therapy animals. Because you don't
so
keep
the drone,
them.
We're leaving the drones out for now.
No. You're still delivered
oh,
by
we're
drone.
Still being delivered.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I feel like that's the fastest way to take a kitten somewhere.
Or a ferret.
Yeah. Baby ferret.
Yes.
Super cute. You're right. You see? You're into this.
I had ferrets.
I'm not sure how to feel about that.
I had two.
You had two ferrets?
Two ferrets.
Why?
Because they're awesome.
Okay. Was it like Beastmaster where they would go and steal stuff for
no,
you?
No, everybody asks me that question. They steal things automatically, like, but that's just who they are. They're little thieves.
That's their personality.
You just have to love them for who they are.
So how did you end up with ferrets?
I was out of college and...
Oh, so this is recent.
Living... No.
You weren't a kid.
No, I wasn't a kid. I was 23, 24, something like that.
So like 5 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my boyfriend had... How did we do this? Somebody had left a ferret... They had moved out of a home and they had left a ferret basically to die in a aquarium. And he was over there picking up some things from the garage and he basically found her and brought her home. And then a few months later, he went and got another one. And then we had two, Oreo and Silver.
And are they filthy animals?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you have to potty train them, just like a cat or a dog, and we would bathe them.
And they would just run around the house?
Yep. Didn't keep them in a cage.
Wow.
They slept in my sock drawer.
Interesting. All right. That's, okay. Disturbing on a number of levels.
They giggle. How could they be disturbing?
I'm sorry, what?
They giggle. You've obviously never been around a ferret.
I've never been around a ferret.
They giggle.
I also wonder if you were imagining some
no.
of this.
You can look this up.
Was this the time
when
in your life?
When they get all excited and they want to play, they giggle.
After college, maybe you were on some...
No, I didn't try that until much later, unfortunately.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Like
I'm a late bloomer.
Ferret related. Okay, so getting back to the drone therapy animals.
Yes.
Just want to say down the road. Okay, so drone therapy
yes.
down the road. but also what if we can genetically engineer miniature animals?
No genetically engineering food or animals.
No, just small animals.
No.
Just tiny, imagine
the words genetically engineering should never come out of your mouth.
All right, what if we just breed them small?
That's the same thing. You're just trying to change the words on me, so I won't. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I see tiny what you're
cats,
doing.
Tiny cats that can fit in the palm of your hand?
Nope.
Like little dinosaurs. Like what if we could genetically engineer tiny dinosaurs? They're therapy animals. They're for people who are in pain,
I don't even agree with people that stick dogs in their purses. Why would I agree to
Brandy,
that?
Brandy, don't you care about people? What if we could genetically engineer
between people Cardassians? And animals.
What if we could create miniature Cardassians and give them as therapy animals?
How would they be therapeutic?
I'm not sure. I'm just pitching ideas at this point. These are the names that I came up with for this company. I want you to see if you like any of them. Because again, that's part of it too, right? The branding and no pun intended.
Yes, no pun intended.
Little Baby Animal Happy Fun Time Drones.
Is there like an acronym for
it's
that?
It's LBAHFTD.
No.
The Beagle Has Landed.
Better.
Okay. And When Pigs Fly, because we might do some therapy pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So out of those two, knowing that the second one has ferrets, which might be important to you, apparently, the competition one, which could be My Best Friend, maybe that's the name of it, mm-hmm. because you're literally finding out who your best friend is,
mm-hmm.
and When Pigs Fly, which do you like? Because you're investing in it. Also, you're going to do all the
branding. The Beagle Has Landed.
The Beagle Has Landed. So yes. The therapy animals by drone.
Yes. Non-genetically modified. Therapy.
We're going to come back to that. I feel like the board of directors is going to go with my idea, but we'll see. We'll see what the board wants to do.
Okay.
Because it's all about profitability.
Of course.
Yeah.
This is why I went to art school.
Well, you're also going to do the logo for it.
Okay.
So let's talk about that for a minute. So it's going to be a beagle, like flying with its flapping its ears.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like a helicopter.
Yes. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit more offline about this because I'm going to need a couple of signatures on these contracts. But and for everybody out there who listened to those ideas, you can't steal them. But please go to the website, toacertaindegree.com, and sign the NDA that's on there because you can't steal them now that I said that.
Okay.
And we're going to hear from some NOLA music, the Forgotten Souls Brass Band with Big Chief here on WPRK. Winter Park, Florida. Ray Charles with One Mint Julep from the album Genius Plus Soul Equals Jazz. Before that, the Forgotten Souls Brass Band, one of the number of brass bands that are around in NOLA, or may still be around. I don't know. They all mix it up and sort of play in each other's bands and do that sort of thing. That was Big Chief from their album Don't Forget 'Em. Good morning. My name is Nick. This is To a Certain Degree. You can go to acertaindegree.com and check us out and learn more about the show. And the guests, we have some former shows on there. Try to post them as quickly as possible. But I am not always timely in that manner. So it's fine. It's all fine. My guest today, Brandy Franzen.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We just had a caller. We did Bad Business Ideas last segment. And so he was all about the miniature therapy animals, and especially if we can genetically engineer an elephant, put a pachyderm in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I love that tagline.
It's good.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing. The board of directors has spoken. So that's my perfect job in a couple. I'm just kidding. That's not my perfect job. I wanted to talk about the elections coming up.
Oh, God.
But not in terms of that. One of the things I thought was really funny and kind of interesting was President Obama. When he would joke with Rahm Emanuel, who was his chief of staff, I think, for a while,
mm-hmm.
about what they were going to do after he was done being president.
Right.
He's like, I don't want to make any decisions at all. I want to open a t-shirt stand in Hawaii, where he's, you know, Obama's from. And they're going to sell one shirt size and one shirt color. It's going to be white and medium. So they would walk by each other, apparently, when they're having a bad day. And Obama would just go to Emanuel, he would just go, medium. And Emanuel go white.
Yep.
So I think that's great. And we talked a little bit about what your perfect job, your sort of retirement job would be.
My retirement job will be florist. I would like to be, I don't want to own the florist shop.
Right.
Although who's to say I won't end up being in charge, because it happens sometimes.
What do you mean? Your personality just accounts for something like that?
Hey, I know myself.
Oh, okay.
It's good to be self-aware. Florist shop, because it's creative and everyone is always happy to see you regardless of the occasion. I would even like to be the person who delivers them, I think. Kind of like in that movie Bed of Roses with Christian Slater. Do you remember that movie?
No.
It's a good movie. Anywho, and then I would also like to encourage the people that use our flowers for events like weddings and things like that to donate them to assisted living facilities and homes in afterwards. The local area afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they don't get thrown out.
Wedding's over. Flowers are just going to sit there.
Correct.
Or get thrown out. You come back and take the flowers along with some miniature therapy animals.
To pachyderms for your pocket.
Assisted living homes. I love
flying
that idea.
Ferrets.
Wait. Okay. Hang on a second. Now you're talking about some incredible genetic engineering.
No.
Also, I don't know
if
that I want...
pigs can fly, why can't ferrets?
Well, I guess so. That's true, because they're going to be on drones.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot about that part, because you were poo-pooing the drones.
I was.
Earlier. But I like that. So it's a little bit creative, a little more creative than what I think the president was looking for in his retirement job.
And I love tropical flora.
Yep.
And yeah, it makes everybody happy.
I think so. I think that would be a really good retirement.
You see somebody smile every day, or they're at least happy to see you.
Yeah. Because even at, a very sad event, they're still
beautiful flowers,
appreciative of the flowers and, who it's there for and, brings a smile and a tear.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that. I haven't thought too much about it because my background is gift shops.
Okay.
My family owned gift shops.
Kitschy gift shops?
In Daytona Beach. Well, in the sense that all gift shops are kitschy and typically made up 100%
of pink flamingos.
Garbage. Yeah.
That's what I really
want to know. So I went into one this weekend, a gift shop, and it was, all the same stuff. And I was just looking around. The smell even is the same of the t-shirts that are freshly printed and worth about $2 and selling for $10. And, the shells made it, the shells made into
shells.
Little animals and
things
like that. I was just like, I can't, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. So no gift shops for me. I don't think I'm creative enough and I probably have enough allergies that being a florist of any kind will not work. Maybe I could just be the truck driver and just go and pick them up and take them
delivery.
Everywhere. But I was thinking, what would be good too is to be on that side of the mic, have somebody host, come up with all the music and do all that. And I'll just sit there and comment on things. I could be like a curmudgeon. I could be like the old guy that just is angry about everything.
You're Gladys Kravitz.
I'm not sure who that is. Is that Lenny Kravitz's mom?
No. No.
Any relation?
What is her name? Kravitz. Lenny Kravitz's mom was on the Jeffersons.
Yes, that is true.
I can't remember what her name is. She was quite beautiful.
Yeah.
No. You're going to be a curmudgeon on the sidelines?
Yeah, I think so.
You're just going to yell things from the
corner?
Get
off my lawn.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of thing. And then, but on the radio.
That's one of my, so when people ask me, how do you imagine yourself when you're older, like older? I've always said, I want to be that lady in the purple muumuu on the porch, like yelling at people with one big gray, streak through my hair.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
So wait, that's something you aspire to, or that's just how you're describing yourself?
No, I think that's what I want to be.
Yeah. A little aspirational.
Yeah.
Thing
purple muumuu, gray streak, yelling.
I like the gray streak because I want to look older, but I don't want it all gray and I don't want salt and pepper.
Well, I've been blessed with so far not having to dye my hair. So
all right.
I'm hoping that it'll stay this way for a while and then I'll just get like that one white streak.
Oh, I've got super salt and pepper going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in the beard, which I'm not sure if that makes me look older or wiser.
In men, it always makes you look more sophisticated.
Ah.
On women, it just makes you want to go buy hair dye.
That double standard. I hate it. I hate all double standards.
Agreed.
Triple standards, I'm okay with. I'm not sure what that would
be. I was going to say, like, what?
I just like odd number standards.
Oh, I agree. Odd numbers are better.
Yeah. I guess triple standard would be men, it looks okay. Women, it doesn't. Children, okay.
Okay.
So gray hair on children.
Gray hair on children, bad. Got it.
Which I think would be good because then the kid from Sixth Sense had a white streak in his hair. Yeah. So basically when the kids have it, you know they see ghosts.
They see dead people.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time.
All the time. So let's play another song. This is actually a little more jazz. This is something a little more current, or at least recent. Carl Denson with Flute Down on WPRK Winter Park, Florida. Carl Denson on WPRK Winter Park, Florida. The song is Flute Down and the album is Dance Lesson Number 2. I think it was from mid-2000s. Really, really, really good album. And he is formerly of the Grey Boy All-Stars, if you wanted to look back on some of the stuff that he did before. And actually played on a couple of Lenny Kravitz albums, as a matter of fact. Good morning. My name is Nick. This is To a Certain Degree. We are almost done here. My guest today has been Brandi Franzen.
Very sad that it's almost done.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Went fast.
Yeah, it went really fast, and it was a lot of fun.
It was.
Thank you again for doing that. We're going to hear probably from some Donald Byrd, maybe some Quincy Jones, depending on how much time we have left, but we got two other things to talk about.
Okay.
One is Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah.
So I showed you a little bit of it on the way over here. It's actually a pretty interesting game.
I didn't know. I had seen it on Facebook this weekend. Yeah, some of my
everyone's playing it.
My family. I have a lot of geeks in my family. And I am a geek, but not about Pokemon. And so I was trying to figure out
the
premise of what it was about.
Yeah. So, okay. So now that you've seen it on my phone, why don't you explain it for the audience in case they don't know what it's all about?
From what I gathered, it is an app that you download and it is their first mobile
interactive Nintendo's, first foray into... App.
So that they'll get up off their bums and walk around or do some exercise. And you go to certain places that are determined through this app to gather points, prizes, objects.
Yeah.
And my first reaction.
Yeah, it was a very interesting reaction. So as a parent myself, me and my son were out this weekend. My son was out Saturday riding his bike around looking for places. Actually met people, other kids.
In his neighborhood.
In his neighborhood who were looking for the same things. Because these are, the locations are the same for everybody. And then we walked around the Milk District the other night. And we ran into maybe five or six adults who were going around looking for the Pokemon as well.
Yes. And so my first reaction was, if I was a predator of young children... That would be the perfect thing to be into.
I'm also looking for the Pikachu.
Right.
How are you?
Why don't you come into my big white van?
Oh,
I'll show you. Yeah, no, I just don't know how I feel about it. I agree. I'm totally supportive of the walking around or biking around bit, perhaps with a parent. I don't know. But then there's not a lot of independence there, so I don't know.
Right. So, no, I think it's a key component, though, because, you know, we talk about the safety of social media, right? Like what you're supposed to do and not do. Like if, you know, you're going on vacation, don't say you're going on vacation because then people will know that your house is no longer occupied or something along those lines. So I think there's a component to this, and I don't know if anybody's written about it already. So that'd be something interesting to look up. Because it felt very safe. It felt very community-driven when we were walking by and, you know, the guy was walking the other way and he goes, oh, there's a Doduo over there if you guys haven't gotten it yet, which is one of the Pokemon.
I mean, I don't think it's the... I think it's the exception, right? It's not going to be... I've just seen way too many Criminal Minds and CSIs, I suppose. Maybe it's my problem.
It might be a little bit in your head.
Maybe.
Because the unsub is escalating.
Yes.
So you got to watch out for that.
Yes.
Those crazy unsubs. All right. So switching over to something else. I usually talk to guests about their college experience. And so one of the statistics that I've seen recently is that about 27% of people go into the industry that they got their degree in. So right. It's ironic that I'm on saying this at a radio station. I did radio television, but then I went into marketing and now I'm in admissions. And so you did something a little bit different, took a little bit of a different path as well.
I went to art school and I studied graphic design, and I was a graphic designer for about 4.5 years. And then I wanted to travel.
So you're really, what compelled you to go into admissions was to travel, or were you doing something else?
No, I had lost my job as a graphic designer, had a bit of a crisis about it. There were a lot of things going on. And then I was looking for, I really wanted to see the world. That was always a big, important part of who I wanted to be. So I applied for a study abroad position at the university where I had been. And I didn't get that job, but the person who I got my recommendation from said, "Hey, I work in admission." And they just posted a position for a Latin American representative. And since you're from Latin America, you would be perfect. So I went and interviewed for that. And that's why I've been doing this.
That's how you started that.
Yes, I've been doing it now for 13 years.
And was it easier because you had gone to that school and you were sort of like, I understand it, I believe.
Absolutely. It was my alma mater. So it was very, because
and
when you're recruiting.
Your time there.
Yes. And when you're recruiting an art student, it's very different than recruiting a liberal arts student, which is why Rollins stretches me that way. I've learned a lot.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And when you're recruiting an art student, you're pretty much putting those ads in the magazines where if you can draw this, then you can be a student here.
No, because not all art schools are like that.
What?
No. Some of them you don't even need a portfolio for.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
That's crazy. So I could go there.
Yes.
Because I do not have a portfolio.
Let's say you want to study something like industrial design.
Yep.
Chances are you've never created a prototype before of a product.
Of a chimney.
Or a meat slicer, or a toothbrush, or whatever. So
I just figured out what I want to do.
There you go.
Okay, I'm in for this. So what school is this? And do you recruit for them anymore? Because you're really good at it.
No.
Because you just got me like that.
It doesn't go away. Once you learn those skills, they don't go away.
All right, fine. Well, I think that's it. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the people in Radioland?
Oh, be kind to yourself and to one another.
Oh,
that's what's going through my mind right now.
It's good timing for that message, I think. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that's a better message than any of the ones I've ever come up with. So thanks for showing me up yet again. My guest today has been Brandy Franzen. My name is Nick. And if you'd like to learn more about the show and eventually hear this episode of To a Certain Degree, you can go to toacertaindegree.com. It should be up in a week or so.
Okay.
I'm on vacation this week, so there's actually probably going to be more time to work on stuff like the show and content for the website and things like that. And then you can always listen to us at WPRK.org. You can listen online. You can listen at 91.5, which is maybe something you're doing right now. And
Have a great week.
Have a great week. Oh, WPRK.org, and go in there and learn all about the station if you want as well. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks.
And Jellies and Jams is coming up next after we're going to play a song and then a couple of messages here on WPRK.